Orangutan is Debbie Derryberry right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today on the show, we're learning about apes. And we've got with us Michelle Desolais from Forest for Orangutans, and the kids have a lot more questions for her.
How many more apes are left in the population, and are they endangered?
Well, the scientists think there's just over about 100,000 Bornean orangutans. Now, that sounds like a lot, but think a large sports stadium seats more than that. So that's all the orangutans in the world in one stadium. That's not really a lot, after all. Which, like I said, just over 100,000, that we think. They're very hard to count. You can't really spot them in the forest. You have to count their nests. And, of course, you have to figure out if that nest is old or new. The Sumatran orangutan, about 14,500. And the newly identified, just a few years ago, they identified a different species of orangutan. They knew they were there, but they thought they were Sumatra orangutans, but they turn out to be so different that they've made a species of their own called the Tapanuli orangutan. And they are the most endangered great ape on the planet, with about 800 of them left. And they're in a lot of trouble right now. All of the orangutans are in trouble. They're all listed by the International Union for the Conservation of Nature as critically endangered. That is the closest step you get to before they are extinct. They're probably not going to go extinct anytime soon because we're doing a really good job keeping them alive in protected areas, but the numbers are still going down pretty steadily. And so there's a lot of work that we have to do to keep them alive.
Is there anything we can do to help the orangutans?
There is something that we can do almost every day of our life. Do you remember I spoke about the fact that some people are clearing the forest where the orangutan lives, and they're clearing it to plant something called palm oil. Well, the plant is called oil palm. The product that we get out of it is palm oil. And palm oil finds its way into over half of the packaged products in your supermarkets. And these products can be everything from chocolate and cookies and pizzas and bread, ice cream. It can also be the things that you use to wash your clothes with, or your dishes, or your face. It can be in your toothpaste. It can be in lipstick. Some companies are even putting it in fuel to run cars and airplanes. So it's really impossible to avoid palm oil. And we don't actually ask people to avoid palm oil. We ask them to demand that the palm oil is produced what's called sustainably. And under the rules for sustainable palm oil, one of the rules is you can't cut down any forest to grow it. And another rule is you can't capture or harm or kill any orangutans to make this palm oil. So we think that the most important thing everyone can do to save the orangutan is to demand sustainable palm oil. Now you can look for a logo on some products called the RSPO logo. That stands for the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil. And unfortunately, not a lot of products put this on their packages, even if they are using sustainable palm oil. Sometimes they say there's just not enough room on the package. So there's an app put out by the Cheyenne Mountain Sioux there in Colorado that you can get on your phone, and it will show you what products are using sustainable palm oil, what products you can choose to eat or use safely. And if it doesn't have sustainable palm oil, then we encourage you to send an email or write a letter to the company and say, hey, why aren't you using sustainable palm oil? The orangutans need you to use sustainable palm oil.
Well, Michelle Dussolet, it has been such a pleasure being with you. You're a conservationist with the Orangutan Land Trust. You can learn a lot more about their organization by going online to forests4orangutans.org. And I am actually putting links to that on our website. Michelle, thank you so much for answering so many of our orangutan questions and being with us on the show today. I have one more question for you, which is, if you had a goal for what you wanted your organization to achieve, maybe 20 years from now, where would orangutans be?
That's a good question. It's hard for me to see around the corner to tomorrow. In 20 years, I would like to see the clearing of orangutan habitat come to an end. And that would in turn see orangutan numbers increasing and the numbers of orangutans finding themselves in horrible situations almost gone. That would be my dream.
Is climate change impacting these islands? Is there a chance that in 20 years these islands will be flooded?
Some of the coastal areas may become flooded, but the islands are huge, so they're not going to be completely inundated. What we are seeing already is shifting climatic patterns, exacerbating the incidence of fires. So you combine the clearing of forest, the draining of the wet peatland that a lot of those forests stand on, and then long, long dry season, add some wind, add a careless person with a cigarette, and you've got a giant fire that burns for months and so forth. So climate change is having that direct impact on the habitat of the orangutan.
You can learn a lot more about the work that Michelle Dussolet and Forest for Orangutans is doing by going to childrenshour.org. We've got links posted. Look for this episode, Apes. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today.
Thank you.
En una rama estaba el orangután meciéndose en una rama y pasó la orangutana comiéndose una banana.
El orangután y la orangutana, el orangután y la orangutana.
De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana: termina ya tu banana, te invito a pasear el yate.
El orangután y la orangutana, el orangután y la orangutana.
Se fueron a vacilar al bar de la Mona Juana. Se fueron a vacilar al bar de la Mona Juana. Y entre cocos y jaranas volvieron por la mañana.
El orangután y la orangutana, el orangután y la orangutana.
De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana. De pronto el orangután le dijo a la orangutana: termina ya tu banana, te invito a pasear el llano.
That was El Payaso Plim Plim right here on the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone, and today we're learning about apes on the show. You can find links and pictures and other information at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Apes. But we decided we need to learn more about apes, and we wanted to see some in real life. So we're going to head over to the zoo. And whenever we go to the zoo, we always think of this one. This is Raffy, right here on the Children's Hour.
Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees, swinging in the trees. Look at all the monkeys swinging in the trees. We can stay all day. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water, swimming in the water, swimming in the water. Look at all the crocodiles swimming in the water. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Yes, mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. Zoo tomorrow, zoo tomorrow. Mommy's taking us to the zoo tomorrow. We can stay all day. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. How about you, you, you? You can come too, too, too. We're going to the zoo, zoo, zoo.
Recently, the kids' crew took a trip to the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo. That's here in New Mexico where we record our shows. We wanted to see some members of the ape family up close, and we met Jonathan Cordova. He's an animal keeper at the zoo.
So what exactly are apes, and how do they differ from other primates?
Humans are apes. They're part of our closest relatives. We're probably about 98-99% close to our DNA to a chimpanzee. In DNA terms, we're almost identical, but that 1%, 1-2% actually makes a big difference. I mean, you can see we're taller, we stand upright, we don't have as much fur, we can talk. I guess the biggest difference between us and apes is our communication. So they communicate mostly in gestures and grunting, whereas humans can communicate with words. That's a really big difference. We have technology and clothing and things like that, so they still live in their naturalistic life out in Africa. But yeah, we're pretty close. We're about as close as you can get.
Are great apes all over our planet, or are they concentrated in certain regions?
So they are pretty widespread because of orangutans. So the orangutans come from Asia as well. But for the most part, there actually are just little pockets of great apes. So mostly just Africa and Asia. And then, of course, humans are everywhere. So ape species has spread all around the world. It's just humans.
Perhaps you've been to a zoo and seen all kinds of primates, including monkeys. But apes and monkeys are not the same animal.
Monkeys, you typically think of primates with tails. Apes are usually bigger. There are a group of apes called lesser apes, which are siamangs and different things. So they do come in smaller sizes, mostly big guys. The easy way to distinguish an ape from a monkey, monkeys have tails, apes don't have tails. Apes come with different characteristics. I mean, all primates really are really family oriented. Apes are very particular with their families and their troops. Chimpanzees in the wild live in huge groups of families.
At the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo, all the chimpanzees live together, play together, sleep together, and eat together.
We feed our chimpanzees twice a day, and they also get grapes in the middle of the day. So I come out and hand feed them a big bag of grapes. I don't have an exact weight, but it's a big trash bag full in the morning and a big trash bag full at night. And they get a bunch of vegetables. They're mostly vegetarians, so they get celery, cucumbers, carrots. Their favorite is fruit. I hand feed them fruit, and we also give them fruit for training. So they love apples, bananas, oranges, kiwis, and they get a big handful of that a day too.
I've seen in that when they're eating, they look around and choose different foods. Why do they do it like that and not just eat the ones that are in front of them?
That's a good question. So they have individual personalities. It's what makes working with them really cool. So they, just like humans, each one of them has their favorites, the ones that they like and the ones that they dislike. So usually they'll go for the stuff that they like. And each individual has different ones too. So they don't all like the same thing, but they'll definitely go for certain things first. And we like to give them a lot of extra greens. So I would say like the low reinforcers are the lettuce and the celery and kind of some of the things that are a little bit more bland. They'll eventually eat some of that, but they definitely want to go for the carrots and the sweet potato and some of the gooder stuff first.
Jonathan hand feeds the chimps, but because they're pretty big and very strong, he uses a system of barriers to keep himself safe. There are human-sized doors and chimp-sized doors in the enclosure, so staff and animals are never in the same space together. The doors allow the chimps to move throughout their space safely.
They've got the routine down really well, so they kind of know when breakfast and dinner is. So for breakfast, they know that I got to come out to the yard. So in the mornings when I get here, I ask them all to come inside, and they usually are pretty good about coming inside. Occasionally, they don't want to listen, which is totally fine. That's on their terms. If they don't have to come in, but usually they're pretty ready for breakfast to come in.
But even with barriers, staff can still get a close look at the chimpanzees. Zookeepers trained the chimpanzees to show their feet, hands, nose, and even tongues to check their health.
How do you train the chimpanzees?
So at the zoo, we use what we call positive reinforcement, and that's a training technique where we use a positive reinforcer. So we ask them to do something, and if they do it, they get a treat, or they get interaction with us, or they get something that they like. We're able to do lots of different trainings with that method, and it's all voluntary. So that's what makes positive reinforcement really cool, is they can choose to do it or not choose to do it. And a lot of times they really want to participate, and it helps us with their veterinary care and also our own companionship with them, to working with them really closely.
That's Jonathan Cordova. He's a zookeeper with the Albuquerque Biopark Zoo here in New Mexico. We've got more with their family of chimpanzees in a moment. You're listening to the Children's Hour.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Users at tokenibis.org donate to the Children's Hour every week without ever spending a dime. Learn more at tokenibis.org. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. The Children's Hour is supported by New Mexico Arts, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs, and the National Endowment for the Arts. The Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico supports the Children's Hour.